Well, call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. The wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. And to reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Network.
Certainly is. I was listening during the news to a guy, a very nice guy who sells the Oreck vacuum cleaners that we need today. So you've got to wonder, in the future, you've got dirt around your house. But I don't think you're going to need a great big vacuum cleaner. In the nanotechnological world, you're going to just need this little thing and you release it. And it goes and it eats all the dirt. And I mean all the dirt. Well, something to consider. And someday I'm sure we'll be able to get thin just by saying thinner, please. But right now, the only way to do it that I know of... Well, no, there are other ways. I mean, there's outright starvation, but that's hard. I'd like to introduce you to what's helping me lose weight, Ultimate Slim. It will increase your metabolism. It gets, even if you're sedentary, it gets everything going faster. And so you burn away fat, you reduce water weight, you see the inches disappearing. It controls your appetite so you're not screaming to go to the icebox. It even relieves sugar cravings. It does all of that. So you're not suffering, but you are losing weight. Want to try it? Easy. Order two bottles of Ultimate Slim when you do from Great American Products. They bestow upon you two more absolutely free, so it's already half off. And here's the best part. It's guaranteed to work or you get all your money back. Call 1-800-557-4627. Are you writing that down? Better yet, call it right now. 1-800-557-4627. Now, did you know that you could subscribe to After Dark, you know, our newsletter, online? Yes. What's easier than that? Just log on to my website, www.artbell.com. Go to the library link on the left. It says library. You'll find an After Dark link in the menu. You click there. You can subscribe on the secure server. Yes, we've got that. Just like that. Boom. You're done. You're subscribed. A secure server. Call, or, you know, I a lot of people, they're still scared of that. That'll disappear eventually. Or you can call toll-free 1-888-727-5505. For only $39.95, wherever you get it, you receive this four-color magazine every month for 1 year. I suggest you do it right now. You'll get two free issues, 14 for the price of 12. So, on to my website or call 888-727-5505. All right, once again, for all my friends overseas, give it a try. Take the plunge, whether you're in Europe or Asia or North or South America, wherever you are, save here in the U.S. and Canada. Try this. Call 800 800-893-0903. Worldwide will pay the bill. Doesn't matter where you are. China, I don't care. We'll pay the bill. Worst case, get hold of the AT&T operator and have her dial 800-893-0903. All right, back now to my guest, Mark Pesce. Mark?
Yes.
Okay, still hanging in there, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Very good. All right, well, lots of people want to talk to you, so here we go. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Mark Pesce. Good morning.
Hi, my name is Ray. I'm calling from Ogden, Utah. I listen to you on 570 KNRS out of Salt Lake.
Good for you.
Okay, no, here's the big problem I'm having with all this. I can mentally picture it, but there are so many things that bother me about it. Okay, I'm a martial arts enthusiast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an amateur musician. And I'm a student of Zen Buddhism, or Chan Buddhism, whichever you want to call it. And it, to me, without the human element of striving, struggling, and aspiring, and I could just say to myself, bang, I'm a master swordsman, or bang, I'm an enlightened Buddhist, or
yes,
bang, I'm a really good musician, it would all be hollow and empty.
It's a lot like another question we had, really. Very much like it. It's not an easy answer, is it, Mark?
No, I think that it's going to displace some of the things that we think of as being worth striving for and replace them with others. I think that it's in the human nature to strive, to improve, to get better. And the question is, when certain things become easy, for instance, I live in Los Angeles, it's a huge city, but it's very easy for me to get across it. Transportation is not an issue, unless I happen to be going around at rush hour. And so it's changed what I consider a challenge appropriately to my level of ability. So every time our abilities extend, what becomes important, what becomes challenging also changes. Now, I don't believe that you'll be able to flick a switch and become the Buddha, because I think that's a spiritual change. We're talking about material manifestations of the world.
Okay.
We're not
okay.
talking about the nature of spiritual changes, but I think that one of the things that this could foment, that the nanotechnology revolution could foment, is an examination of what truly is important. Once you've satisfied your basic material needs, what then is important?
And another thing I did want to mention is that it sounds to me a lot that what we're talking about tonight, it has been more or less predicted in James Redfield's books, the Tenth Insight and the Celestine Prophecy. He mentioned something in one of those books about the possibility of there being such a synergy between humans and machines.
I think that this is a real, I think that's a core part of it. The entire passage of human history from the invention of fire through the present day has been an increasing human ability to work with the material world, to get finer and finer levels of control over it. And we're now just in that last half mile, that last sprint before complete control of the material world, which brings with it a whole host of problems and a whole host of opportunities.
Indeed.
All right. I appreciate the call, sir. I guess I would like to ask about Mr. Oryk's, a very nice fellow who sells his Oryk vacuum cleaner that still goes after 25 years. I was listening to his little commercial during the news. Not everybody might have caught it, but they know what I mean. You know, what kind? How's Mr. Oryk going to be doing there in another 50 years?
Well, there's already been proposed what we would call household nanites, which will eat the dust off the floor and, in fact, use the dust off the floor as the thing that keeps them powered.
How about cat barf?
They'd be able to do it off of any sort of organic substance. It would be a general purpose device that would be looking for things that don't belong in the environment. And so they'd probably be talking to some device that has a rough idea of how the environment should be. Now, you don't want it to eat your books.
No, but I mean, a hairball-filled cat barf, I'm sick of cleaning those up.
that you can probably actually do something with. You might actually, maybe what you'll have is a magic wand in your hand, and you'll point it at the device, and that will then tell the nanites in the room to run over and eat the cat barf.
Nanites, cat barf, now! First time caller line, you're on the air with Mark Pesce. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Bell.
Yes.
Great show this evening, or this morning, I should say.
Yes, it is morning.
A few questions. One, for you, have you ever considered a weekly television show, say like on Sci-Fi Channel or something?
Yeah, I've been offered that by the Sci-Fi Channel and about a million others, and I've turned every one of them down. I'm not going to do TV.
Okay. Well, good answer.
Honest answer.
Okay, well, honest answer. As far as your guest goes, Mark, I have a question for you. The reason I'm asking this is because I'm finishing college and hopefully I'm going to be going into the military, but I saw a program about nanotechnology on the History Channel, and one concept that they put out was the use of nanotechnology for a skin covering, something that I guess you would inject into your skin or put on you, something that could change colors, like if you were a Navy SEAL, or something that could provide a barrier for protection against the environment. Is something like that practical? How far away are we from that sort of technology, and would it be safe?
It certainly would be practical. It's depending on the qualities of that kind of covering.
Mm-hmm.
It's relatively easy to do because it's a polymer, and so really what you want is some sort of active polymer that can be controlled. Is it safe? They would probably design it to be at least as safe as a wetsuit.
Huh.
You'd have to do something like that. Now, if it binds directly to your skin, you're going to have another level of problems because you're going to deal with perspiration and all sorts of issues like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you could definitely see those kinds of things. Those will happen, I would say, 5 to 10 years out.
Wow.
Because those are almost the benefits of material science. And then the question is, how active are those materials? And you take a look at the enormous leaps that are being made in display technology now, where we have what they're calling bioluminescent LEDs.
Uh-huh.
And things like this. These are all sorts of parts of the same revolution that's going on with using materials for surfaces that have particular qualities.
So I guess like something like, for instance, if your skin, you know, in the future, if you're in a bad accident and you get burned all over, I guess the idea of some sort of skin covering that would basically mimic your own skin, I guess, you know, the potential for that is also there.
Yes, the potential for that's also there, although I think that by the time to do that, you'd probably also then be able to kick your genome into high gear and regrow new skin.
Well, one quick question. As far as, like, car technology, do you know if anybody's working on something to where you would be able to, like, maybe, you know, if you buy a car in just plain white, by, you know, changing something, spraying something or whatever, it would instantly change the color of your car?
Uh-huh.
That is one of the things that people are working on. This is, again, a lot of work that's going on in material science. There's a big push toward what we call digital ink right now, which is another type of material which allows you to have, say, a book, but the book's pages are actually active. They're not printed so much as they are electronic, and they portray something, and yet the surface is very flexible and very thin like a book. And so you can see that as being a very easy extension from a book cover to a car cover.
You know, I was just thinking, as he was talking about the car, I used to be a police dispatcher. Boy, it would complicate that job. You're looking for a green Chevy, right? Then you're looking for a blue Chevy and a yellow Chevy and an orange Chevy. And pretty soon you're not even looking for a Chevy anymore. You're looking for a Ford because it just morphed into a Ford.
No, but probably what the police officer would do would be to fire a dart of nanites at it, which would tag the car and then make it possible to capture no matter what the car looked like.
Well said. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Mark Pesce. Hi.
Hey, this is Nick, another 640 man in L.A.
Yes,
this
sir.
This blockbuster program is one of the three best I've ever heard.
Glad you're enjoying it.
Several years. That last caller really leads into my double question, because the two questions are related, about productivity and about violence for hire. But that's going to be great when your closet's going to start looking like a broom closet. You have a jar for every article of clothing you want to wear. You just spray and poof, you're dressed in whatever you need to protect yourself. The two questions, this is on the other extreme rather than right next to your body. In the whole world, you're going to have sheep herders in Mongolia. You're going to have jitney drivers in Brazil. Millions of workers suddenly going to telework centers to support the new technology. That's great. Productivity is wonderful, but there's one downside, is that everything they do will have absolutely nothing to do with their immediate environment, which will mean whole cultures will be just completely absorbed, maybe call it a kind of a cultural gray goo type of concept. And that leads to my main question, which is you're going to have boxing matches, bare knuckles matches, really brutal games that, you know, some rogue countries will be willing to supply, real blood being shed, real people being killed, like in the movie Gladiator, and even far more repulsive practices in which the participants are either drugged or coerced into participating, even...
All for entertainment.
Yeah, even torture for entertainment, and you can't stop it because it'll go through the underground, through hundreds of servers or email. There'll be three basic means of transmission, direct server networks, email, which is store and forward, where the computers don't always have to be on, or just removable media like CDs and VHS and the like. I'll get off the air while you address the second problem because it's concerned me for a long time as I've studied the Internet and what the next step will be.
Mark?
Well, I mean, you can see the parallels already with the sort of very far end of the pornography industry. That's just something that really is already in existence that some people will always be looking for, the certain types of things that will thrill them. I think that the thing that matters in a situation like this is that there are people out there who are monitoring, who are actively working to monitor this. When you look at the issue of productivity, of where people are going to go in a culture like this, I think people will find the issues that concern them. We talk about striving for goals, what goals are important, and it may be that the goals of production will be left behind in favor of the goals for sort of humankind, for the kind of greatest benefit, so that if you find something like this that's going on at a subterranean level, perhaps someone who's been freed from a blue-collar job actually would take an interest in finding and solving these kinds of problems, so that the social displacements that happen may be made up for.
Gosh, you're an optimist. All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Mark Pesce, the optimist. Hello.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Your
okay.
Turn. Where are you, sir?
Bluefield, West Virginia.
Okay.
They don't carry your last hour, so I'm going to have to ask, if you don't mind, after I ask my second question, if you could keep them on. It'll be a short answer, I'm sure. The first one, both of you can give me your opinion on. Have you read The Cat's Cradle by Kurt von Vonnegut?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
So you know the premise of some kind of foreign agent being created and getting out of the lab and destroying the world's not new.
No.
So I don't think with that history, and I'm sure it goes back further, I haven't read one that's older than that, that's still going to be kept on men's minds. So I think there's always going to be somebody that's going to be looking and watching out for that kind of stuff. Although, you know, there's no guarantees.
You're an optimist too, aren't you?
An optimistic realist.
I'm not sure that works, but all right.
The second question for Mark is, can those nanoprobes be turned against the Internet?
Well, the Internet is coming through so many different media these days. It's either over a wire, or it's over the air, or it's over a fiber optic link, or it's over a laser link, or it's over microwave. And so it's not clear that you could take out the whole Internet in a situation like that. You could certainly, say, produce a nanite bomb that would take out the physical wiring somewhere, or perhaps produce a microwave storm so that people couldn't get their calls through. So in a limited sense, you could do it. Whether it could do it in the global sense, that's not clear. I mean, certainly if you produced something that was just the gray goo, then that would take the Internet out because it would take everything else out with it.
But as you see the Internet now, or even in its immediate future, its broadband future, nanotechnology would not directly apply to destroying it.
You could take out sections, but I don't think you could take out the whole thing.
Yeah, right. Exactly. All right. Good. At least there's some limit there. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Mark Pesce. Good morning.
Hello, gentlemen. This is Lee out of Seattle in Como.
How you doing?
Art, I agree with you in 100,000 spades that this man is a cockeyed optimist. You know, let me say I'm not a Luddite. I read a tremendous amount of science fiction. I've read about this, but it just scares the hell out of me. The combination of this, especially with our breakthroughs in genetic technology, is just astoundingly scary. You know, but to me, it would be like, in our present form of society, I believe it'd be like giving a group of cannibal headhunters an armed atomic bomb and just letting them play around with it. I'm going to address a military question in a minute, but let me make a couple other observations. I came across a very interesting thing that applies to this. As a quote from someone, it says, experience is a hard teacher. It gives the test first and the lesson afterwards. And when we start dealing with these super technologies like we're getting into now, we're only going to have, you know, one chance for a world-changing mistake. I think particularly the thing that scares me with this technology is its application to tyranny. You know, and as you said, Art, I mean, let's look at the examples we've got. Like Mr. Fuller pointed out 50 years ago, we could feed all the world and we could manage all our energy needs. We've got everything we need under our current technology, but we're not doing so.
Right.
We're still killing the world with, you know, out-of-date petroleum pollution.
That's right.
And that's because people are making money and they're controlling power with it. This is just going to be that ramped up 100 times. What if a dictator, for instance, wanted to, you know, secretly assassinate someone? He could key one of these things into their genome, have it so it would only strike one person, it would hunt them out, it would go into their brain, pop a blood vessel, and they would destroy themselves. It looked like he had a stroke and no one would ever know. Let me cite an example from The Outer Limits. I know some people you had on just recently.
Yes.
They did a show about this. Incredibly interesting and frightening. This is going to take, you know, a tremendous amount of programming to make these work. They're incredibly specialized, but yet they're very stupid because they're so small. This guy was a medical application, and they injected these things inside of a body for, they were experimental first-generation nanites. And they told them to protect and repair his immune system. So they went in there, and they repaired him all right. But then they discovered he wasn't good enough, and so they started changing his skin, adding ribs. Pretty soon his head started itching in the back, and he discovered he had a second pair of eyes in the back of his head. They made him better than he was. And that was because the programming wasn't done properly.
Oh, but look, programming is always done properly. I mean, does Windows 98 ever crash?
Exactly. I would never want to inject anything like this in my body, not if I can help it. But the problem is, you know, it could be spread around the world and you wouldn't even know it was there. So how does the guest address the tyrannical aspects of this?
I think that the thing we're going to need to develop is a very powerful defense. There's no question about that. I think that we're going to need to take a look at the human body and use that as the model and really inflate the idea of the human body and its elaborate defenses against penetration and say, okay, we need to replicate that in a nanotechnology world. We need to bring those defenses not only inside the body but outside the body.
But how about this could be targeted against specific people, and you wouldn't even know it was in your environment until it killed you?
But you would, because you'll have nanites in your blood that are checking for foreign invaders.
You know, the people that have the power right now can control us. They can do that kind of programming, but the common people won't be able to buy that.
Well, they'll have it first, and the people with the money will have the bots, and everybody else will have, well, they'll be in the pots. The haves and the have-nots. Bot-wise, nanotechnologically speaking, I'm Art Bell. Good morning.
Sweet dreams are made of the instant.